I'm going to begin our this sermon today with two true or false questions. True or false? For a sinner to obtain peace with God, he or she must take the first initiative to seek God, and then God will respond with grace. Second question, true or false? An individual must contribute his or her own effort for personal salvation. God does his part, but each person must do his or her part in order to be saved. True or false? Let me ask you another question. When you gave these answers, where did you get them from? I mean, who influenced you and taught you to respond that way? Parents? Pastors? Youth leaders? Sunday school teachers? Perhaps a college ministry? Perhaps you took courses online or even went to Bible school. Where did you get your religious knowledge from? Where did you get your Christianity from? Now, the answers could be multiple places that you got your Christian religion from. God created the church as a primary way of teaching the truths that he has revealed, the truth of the gospel. Now, I ask those questions for the simple reason that I want to point out what Paul said here in Galatians 1 about where he got his Christian religion from. He says that in verse 11, chapter 1, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Everything about Paul in the New Testament, about his ministry, goes back to how God has done a work in him, how God has saved him, how God has called him, how God has revealed to him the truth that he is to proclaim to the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. We read in the very first verse, "Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead and all the brothers who are with me." He's writing to the churches in Galatia, which is southern Turkey. But his point is that he has been blessed by God in a very unique way to be an apostle, which literally means sent from God. He has been given the authority by God to proclaim the gospel. And he has been given by God the content, the truth of the gospel. And as we read half of the epistles in the New Testament, he addresses a number of issues in the church. The point here is that the origin of Paul's religion is God and God alone. Paul's apostleship was not given to him by any man. It was by God. Paul's authority was from God. Now, this is important because of the problem that's in Galatia. the region of Galatia, a number of churches. And we see in verse 6, he writes, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him, who is Jesus Christ, deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. That's the problem. There are teachers who have come into the church that have distorted the gospel, perverted the gospel, changed the gospel, made the gospel that was a God-centered gospel into a man-centered gospel. And their influence with their teaching in Sunday school, in youth group, with their teaching online, is influencing these people in such a way that they're leaving Christianity and following this teaching of these people. Those people are called Judaizers. They are Jewish people who have professed faith in Jesus Christ coming out of Jerusalem. And they were following Paul on his mission journeys. Paul's first missionary journey, which covered those churches in southern Galatia, was a very successful missionary journey. It occurred around 46, 48 AD. And he went with Barnabas to Cyprus and then into the mainland, and he was working these churches. Rather, he was working in synagogues and in the streets, preaching the gospel of grace. Very successful. Acts 13 and 14 will give you a very detailed description of the kind of ministry that Paul was having in these churches. But also, if you study 13 and 14 of Acts, you will see the opposition to the preaching of the gospel, to the gospel of grace, by these Judaizers. Now, these Judaizers were teaching that, yes, what Paul says to you is right. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ did die on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But Paul's teaching has not gone far enough. Paul's leaving out some really important facts that you need to know in order to be right with God. Now, these Judaizers were coming and following behind Paul and infiltrating his work. And they were teaching that you're saved by grace, but not grace alone. You're saved by faith, but not faith alone. You are saved by grace plus works. You're saved by faith plus works. So Paul is misleading you. Paul is not telling you the whole truth. Because Paul needs to tell you that in order for you to be a card-carrying Christian and to have assurance of salvation, you Gentiles, you must first become Jews, following the Mosaic law, following the Jewish customs, and yes, importantly, you have to be circumcised. And if you're not, you're not saved. And you see the reason why Paul writes such strong words. In verses 6 and following, now he just read, but he says there's a different gospel that they're preaching. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. Let him suffer. Let his children be punished. He is preaching the wrong gospel. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, cursed. Such strong language. Paul's making this strong case here because the lives of souls, the eternal life of these people are on the line. And Paul is very strong. He's harsh. And remember, Pastor Ben last week said, if we're preaching the wrong doctrines, to slap us. Slap him. Don't go slapping me. Just send me an email. But the point is that you got to take drastic action against false teachers who are polluting the gospel, who are misleading people and sending them down the wrong path. The gospel is the gospel that is law-free. It's the gospel of grace. And what the Judaizers were saying is, it's not law-free. It's not just grace. You have to do certain things. You have to do your part. God does His. But it's your effort, combined with His grace, that saves you. And these baby Christians are saying, well, yeah, that makes sense. And these Judaizers were slick. I mean, it's like, hey, didn't Jesus say that He came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it? So which is Paul telling you that you don't need to obey the law? They went after Paul personally as well. Their attacks, again, I refer to Acts 13 and 14. They followed him. And not just debated theology, but they were physical. They were violent. They even stoned him. They wanted to get rid of him. They discredited him. Paul says he's an apostle. Really? We know of 12 apostles, and Paul was not one of them. So where does he get off saying he's an apostle now? So don't believe him. He's not really an apostle. What he's really trying to do is he's a progressive. He's a liberal. He's saying, you don't need Judaism. Just believe. Just believe in Jesus. You can't do that. So they were attacking him personally, discrediting him. So he has to defend himself. And that's what he's doing here in Galatians 1. He tells them that he's an apostle not by man. He tells them that the message that he got was not from man, but directly from God. And it's interesting, in the 6 chapters of Galatians, he takes chapter 1, verse 11 through chapter 2, verse 11 to inform the people that he is an apostle by the grace of God and that he is has been given revelation by God. It's a spiritual autobiography. 1/5 of the letter to the Galatians is a spiritual autobiography where he is refuting the charges of these Judaizers and laying out his story, so to speak, of how he got to be where he is right now. And it was all by God. The sovereignty of God, the grace of God. So if he was sitting in the congregation when I said, who taught you? Who influenced you? Where did you get your Christian religion from? Paul would say, from God and Jesus Christ. Nobody else. He's unique. (Clears throat) Paul insisted that he had received the gospel directly from God and had begun to preach Christ before he ever met the leaders of the Jerusalem church. And we see that here, and we'll see it in further detail as we go along, that after he got saved, he didn't run down to Jerusalem and said, "Peter, James, John, could you guys disciple me here? Can you show me the ropes, so to speak?" No, he didn't go that way. Never met the leaders of the church. And yet we see that he is preaching the gospel. Galatians 1:15. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Paul denied all human origin to his message. Now, when did Paul receive this revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible tells us, gives us that answer in Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Paul's name before he was converted was Saul, a Jewish Pharisee, a leader, a very zealous, devoted ruler of the Jews, a scholar. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the response was, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And the 3 days that he was there, and for 3 days he was there without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he says, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. And then what does he do? He immediately goes and he proclaims Jesus. For some days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who walked?" "For those who were called upon his name. And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So where did Paul get his religion from? Right from God. Where did he get his call to be an apostle from? From God. Where did he get his authority to preach the gospel? From God. Where does he get the authority to confront the Judaizers in Galatians? From God. The origin of our Christian religion must be the triune God. And our faith must be grounded in the Word of God. God is truth. The Word is truth. The Bible is inspired by God, inerrant, which means without error, and infallible, incapable of being wrong. The Bible is never wrong. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Let me ask you, what is the foundation or the origin of your religion? What is it that you rest everything upon? Is it the Bible or is it something else? Is it the Bible plus something else? Very, very pointed question, but it has to be asked at this time because there's such a synthesis of all the voices and philosophies and religion in our pluralistic society where people aren't sure what is the truth. Well, to me, the truth is this. For you, it might be something different. For you Baptists, you might believe that Jesus is the only way. But for others in the mainline denominations, Jesus is not the only way. There's many ways to get to heaven. And people say, well, what am I supposed to believe? Where's the truth? Here's the truth. And this is Paul's argument. The origin of Christian faith is the scriptures revealed by God. It's a God-centered religion, a triune God-centered religion. It's a God of it's a religion of God's revelation. And this is so important because today there are people that look at this Bible and say, "I was put together by a bunch of dead white guys 2,000 years ago. We don't need to believe this today." It's racist. It's bigoted. It's sexist. It's outdated. You need to put this aside. We know better. We have a better understanding of what the family should be. We have a better understanding of what truth is. We have a better understanding of morality, what's right and what's wrong. Don't go back to that old book. It's just been written by a group of people. That's outdated. We know more. It comes down to, do you really believe that this is God's word? Do you believe that this word is never wrong? Even though what it puts forth is contrary to the mindset of our nation right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has created marriage to be between one man and one woman? Or don't you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Or are there other roads? Do you believe that God punishes sinners and sends them to hell? Do you believe that this word, these books, can cause you to grow spiritually and understand God more intimately? Or do you look someplace else for your spiritual development? Paul looks to God for the truth. God gave him the truth. And he puts forth the truth. And he steps on toes when he does it. And people don't like him. They would rather create their own plan of salvation. And they add their own ideas to the scriptures. I don't know how many times I've been in Bible studies where we'll read a passage. And the passage is very clear. And somebody will say, yeah, I read that, but this is what I think. They put themselves on the same level as the scripture. This is what I think. Scriptures say that the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe that God's going to send a Buddhist to hell. I believe everybody's going to be saved. Because God is a God of love. That's what I believe. People are sitting there, yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, God is love. See what happens. There's a fuzziness. There's a distorted gospel. And the consequences of it are many people are going to end up in hell thinking that they had the truth. That's tragic. Is the foundation of your religion God and God's word, or is it something else? Lifeway Research and Ligonier Ministries released the findings of a recent study on the state of American theology in 2016. Researchers surveyed 3,000 adults to measure their agreement with a set of 47 statements about Christian theology. Everything from the divinity of Christ to the nature of salvation to the importance of regular church attendance. And they found that there is confusion today over the role of God's grace in salvation. 4 out of 5 evangelicals agreed. 4 out of 5, 80% of evangelicals agreed that a person obtains peace with God by first taking the initiative to seek God, and then God responds with grace. Do you believe that? I mean, the Bible certainly is clear on who takes the initiative. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Dead. Do dead people do anything? Can they make decisions? Can they choose? Well, what are you going to believe? What you think or what God says? And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, but following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, that's where we were, dead, because of our sin. And all of us are sinners. So we're all dead spiritually. Well, how do dead people get saved? How do dead people come alive? Ephesians 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Is there any question about what the Word of God says here? This is what God tells us. The survey also showed that additionally, 3 out of 4 evangelicals believe that an individual must contribute his or her own effort for personal salvation. God does His part. I must do mine. Again, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Even your saving faith is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit comes and generates that faith in a new heart so that you can believe. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe. Dead people don't believe. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And it really boils down to the basic truth of the Protestant Reformation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, as revealed by Scripture alone, all to the glory of God alone. That's the truth. I didn't just make that up. I didn't borrow it from Luther. It's in the Scripture. That's where Luther got it from. That's where Calvin got it from. That's where the Reformers got it from. Salvation is by grace alone, not by grace and works. By faith alone, not faith and works. In Christ alone, not Jesus Christ and the church. According to the Scriptures alone, not the Scriptures plus church tradition. All to the glory of God alone. God gets all the glory. We can't take credit for anything. You hear people's testimony, oh, I was as drunk. You know, when I was 3 years old, I was in the gutter. And my life was really going downhill fast. And then I heard them singing a hymn in the nearby church. And I was so inspired, I got up from that gutter and took my bottle and went into church. And there, when the invitation was given, I went down that aisle. I repented of my sins. I made that decision to be saved. Look at me. Look at my life now. I'm doing this, 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 and this. Aren't I great? What really happened here? And that's how a lot of people are. It's like, look what I did. I made that decision. Now, if you want to be like me, make that decision. And what's so tragic is that we don't always have the best testimony. So people say, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like Christians. Christians hate people. I don't want to be like that. See, we got to get back to what the Reformation was all about. Putting God back at the center. And believing in God. And not taking credit for anything. That's what Paul is teaching here. And there was opposition. He says very clearly in Galatians 2:15, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. No one is right with God by anything they do. And boy, that really stabs us, don't we? Doesn't it? Because we have this pride that we can fix anything. We can fix ourselves. We can improve. If I get enough education, I can improve myself and I can walk on water. I can do everything. That's the lie that Satan uttered to Adam and Eve. Don't obey God. You know, I've given your brain. Think. Put it together. The reason why God doesn't want you to eat from that tree is because you're going to be like God. And He doesn't want any competition. So, go ahead, eat. Nothing's going to happen to you. They weren't content with what they were. They wanted to be something more. And, well, the rest is history. What is the origin of your Christian religion? I pray that it is God. and that it is based on His revealed Word. And that if there's anything else that is mixed in, poured in, anything else that corrupts the gospel, that you pray for God's mercy and grace to remove it, so that your salvation is based on grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, and not on anything you did, no matter how religious you want to be, it doesn't count. To get right with God, it all depends on trusting in what Christ has already done for you. As Tim Keller says, religion is, I do this, this, and this, and God approves me. The gospel is, Christ has done this, and I believe it. And that's why I do this, this, and this. See the starting point? It's God. Religion is, what must I do? The gospel is, look what God has already done. That's why we live a life of thanksgiving. That's why Paul will keep on going and suffer for the gospel. Out of gratitude for God's grace. I can't believe He saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you've come today, this morning, and you're wrestling with, I don't know if I'm right with God. You know, I've gone to church all my life, but, you know, I don't understand how to get right with God. I thought if I went to church or got baptized or joined the church, that was enough. If I tithed, that had to do it. That's a great work. If you're trusting in anything other than what Christ has done on the cross, renounce all that. If the Holy Spirit is stirring you this morning and just opening you up, that's because God wants and is drawing you to Himself. He wants to save you. All right? Trust in Him. Don't battle Him. Trust in Him. Go with Him. And you'll be changed by His grace. Not only in this life, but forever. Forever and ever. All your sins will be taken care of because of what Christ has done at the cross for you. You need not fear judgment because Christ already has gone through judgment for you. You'll be a new creature in Christ. And you'll have all the promises that are recorded in Scripture for life and for eternal life. Let's pray.